glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8 in the New Living Translation. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, March 12, 2025. We're continuing with our series, Shaping Your Future Self. Today and next Wednesday's topic is Part 3, Holy Habit, Seeing What God Sees. Usually you hear from Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, but today's special guest is Dr. Derwin L. Gray, Pastor Gray, and he's going to help us understand how to cultivate the holy habit of seeing what God sees in us. And he's going to focus on how God loves sinners like you and me. And then next Tuesday, when we continue this Holy Habit, Seeing What God Sees, Part 3 in Shaping Your Future Self, we'll look at how God graciously forgives our sins and how God redeems us from sin so that we can worship Him. Here's Pastor Derwin L. Gray on today, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends.
All right. Well, we're going to pray and then we're going to dive into it. Would you join me in praying, family? Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We don't ask you to come because you're not already present in the people that belong to Jesus. We don't ask you to come because you're already omnipresent. You're everywhere present. When we say come, when I say come, Holy Spirit, what I'm saying is to remind us that only you could blow the wind of grace into the sails of our life and move us towards Jesus to the glory of the Father. I have one simple request, that Jesus would be magnified, that His grace would touch our wounds, that His hope would touch our hopelessness, that His power would touch our weakness, that His clarity would touch our confusion, and that His love would touch our disappointment. Meet us in such a profound way that we will never, ever be the same. We are not leaving this place until we are different. So, Holy Spirit, would you come in magnificence and beauty? We pray this in the matchless name of our King, Jesus, and God's people said, A to the man, A to the man. Well, we are in, y'all picked that up, A to the man. That is what's called Hebrew. Okay? I'm very fluent in Hebrew, so you'll hear some A to the man. So Pastor Rick tasked me with sermon number 3 in the series, Shaping Your Future Self. Shaping your future self. You want to live in the present in such a way that your future self is already sending you an email saying, thank you. But here's something we got to grasp, though. King Jesus cares about your future self and my future self more than we do. Why is that? For those of us who follow Jesus, Jesus cares about our future self and our development and transformation more than we do, because the Bible says this, for everyone who's trusted Jesus as Savior, as King, as Forgiver, as Redeemer, we are now supernaturally a part of His body. The Bible says that we are literally the body of Christ, the Asian person, the black person, the indigenous person, the white person, the person who's black and white at the same time, everybody. It's literally the body of Christ. Theologically, Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of His Father. And if Jesus is sitting at the right hand of His Father in God's domain called heaven, how does He move on earth? Through me and through you, the body of Christ. So your future self, it's not about you. As a matter of fact, I think someone should write a book that starts with, it's not about you. In other words, tapping us into our purpose, our future self is that literally Jesus wants to invade earth with his kingdom. Let me gently nudge you. So many of us as Christians are trying to escape earth, and Jesus said, do on earth as it is in heaven. We're trying to escape, and Jesus is trying to invade. And how does he invade? Not with armies, but with the people of God, with love in their hands, and compassion and mercy. So today, we're going to learn how to cultivate the holy habit of seeing what God sees when he sees you. For those of us in Christ, if you're not yet in Christ yet, this doesn't apply to you, but it can. We're going to develop the holy habit of seeing what God sees when he sees you. One of the Darwinisms you hear at Transformation Church, not Darwinism, but one of the Darwinisms is this. The scene of the crime is your mind. And so, sow a thought, reap a habit, determine your destiny. And so we want to have thoughts that are not stealing our future, but actually building our present so that our future matches who God has called us to be. So we want to develop holy habits. Years ago, in a galaxy far, far away, in the 1990s, I was a professional football player. I played 5 years with the Indianapolis Colts, 1 year with the Carolina Panthers. Now, when you make it to a certain level, everybody's talented, everybody's big, everybody's fast. And I know some of you guys tweet on players and say how you could do better. No, you can't. They would eat you. I promise you, at 50, I would eat you. With a broken back, I would eat you. I mean, it's serious. But here's the thing, though. When everybody's really, really good, what makes the difference is you develop habits. You don't rise to the level of the moment. Listen now, teenagers, young adults, millennials, Gen Z, you rise to the level of your habits. And so we want to develop holy habits. We want to learn to see what God sees when he sees you and me. Now, right off the bat, many of us and the dark powers are whispering in your ear and whispering in my ear, and it's like, well, hold on, wait, Pastor Derwin, I don't want God to see what I see. I don't want God to remember what I've done because I'm really trying hard to make up for the things that even my spouse doesn't know about. So let's just move on from this message of God seeing what, you know, I don't want him to see me. Well, I got some really good news. You ready? The moment that you said yes to Jesus, when God the Father now sees you, he sees Jesus. You're like, how does that happen? Because of the supernatural exchange. On the cross, God exchanges your unrighteousness and my unrighteousness for Jesus' righteousness. And the Bible says that we are united in Christ, that we are forever in Christ. Let me put it to you this way. Back in the day, we used to have teenagers and young adults when in school, we would have this stuff called whiteout. When you make a mistake, you put white little stuff on it and it whites it out. Well, God has blooded out our past. We can clap about that. Yeah. That in the blood of Jesus and through our union with him, when God the Father sees us, he sees Jesus. And you know what God the Father's saying? He's saying this, I want you to see what I see. Because when you see who I've recreated you to be, you will be the person that you're destined to be. So, how do we learn to see what God sees when he sees you and me? Number one, believe that Jesus loves sinners like you and me. Number one, believe that Jesus loves sinners like you and me. And so let me clear some things out of the way, because in the 21st century, and oftentimes as Christians, we have used the term sinner and we've weaponized it to beat people. It's actually not something to weaponize. It's actually a spiritual medical diagnosis so that we can get help. So first of all, what does sin even mean? Well, the word sin means to miss the mark. Well, God has a mark for human beings. God has a prototype of what he wants human beings to be. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 15:22 that Jesus is the last Adam. So Jesus in his humanity is what human beings were meant to be. That God goes, here's the standard, here's the mark. And even if you're not convinced on Jesus yet, you got to admit, Jesus was pretty dope. If you're over 50, ask somebody that looks young, they'll tell you what that means. It means he's awesome. I mean, you have to admit, the things that he did was pretty incredible. His life without sin. I mean, can you imagine for 5 seconds loving like Jesus and forgiving like Jesus and having compassion like Jesus and having intimacy with the Father like Jesus? Intimacy into me, you see. Could you imagine that? We don't have to imagine it. We can actually experience it. Jesus is the glory of God in human form. Let's run over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23 real quick, and it says this, for we have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. What is God's glory? God's glory, family, is Jesus, and all of us fall short of that. So therefore, God says, I love sinners because I want them in my family. I want them to know me. I want them to experience me. So what does God do? If we can't reach his glory came to reach us, and his name is Jesus. Now listen to this. No, you can go ahead and clap. Listen, for the minorities in the house, particularly the black people, clap so the white people can join us. You ain't got to be scared. Help them out now. All right? Yes, there we go. Okay. Some of you are like, did he just say that? Yes, stop taking yourself so seriously. All right. So, Jesus is the glory of God. The glory comes to meet us. And never forget, get this. Jesus loves sinners like you and me because that's all he has to love. That's all that God has to love. Let me put it to you this way. God loves busted up, toe up, from the flow up people. God loves you. Hold on. He doesn't love a better version of you. He doesn't love a fixed up version of you. He doesn't love the perfect version of you. He loves the you that you are right now in your addiction, in your brokenness. He loves you. And here's the key. When we understand that we gave God our worst and he still gave us our best, it is that love that transforms us. It's not about how much you love God. It's about how much God loves us. Now let's get to the sermon. Let's look at Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, and we're going to look at this incredible story. Luke was written by, you ready? This is deep. Get ready to write this down. Luke. Luke was a gonim. He was an ethnos. He was a non-Jew. He was a Gentile. He was an outsider who met the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus. And so he has a way of writing for outsiders so that they could become insiders. Listen to this story that he describes. Then one of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. So a Pharisee invited Jesus to eat, which was a big deal. First of all, who's a Pharisee? The word Pharisee means separate one. The Pharisees were a group of Jewish men of about 5,000 to 7,000 in the first century, and they believed that it was their task to help all of Israel live what's called Torah. Torah is the first 5 books of the Bible. You can pretty much deduce that to love God, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But in their desire to help Israel live the Torah, they wrote a book. There was a book called the Talmud, which had 603 other laws. So therefore, by the time of the Pharisees, there were 613 laws that the Jewish people were to follow so that the HaMashiach or the Messiah could come and rid the promised land of the Gentile pagan Romans. So that was the Pharisee. He invited Jesus, an upstart rabbi. Jesus was from Nazareth. Nazareth was the hood, the ghetto, the wrong side of the track. No rabbi would ever come from there of significance. Says this, he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. So they would have reclined on their left side, and the way homes were built back then, people actually could be outside of your house listening to your conversations and watching you eat. This is a big deal. A religious leader, a Pharisee, and an upstart Jewish rabbi eating, and people are watching. First note, creepy. I'm like, hi. So that's what's going down. Now, verse 37 is explosive, family. And a woman in town who was a sinner found out that Jesus was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house. First of all, a woman was not allowed to go into a Pharisee's house without her husband. Second of all, a woman was not allowed to even speak to a rabbi, let alone go to the house where he was having dinner. Thirdly, it says that the woman was a sinner. We don't know what kind of sin she had. All we know is that she had a reputation of one who was not observant to the Jewish laws. She was an outcast. And fourth, this is really important. There is an incredible power dynamic at play. Here's a woman with no power, bad reputation, knowing she should not go into a Pharisee's house. But I love this woman. You know why? Because she goes, I don't care. I don't care about the customs. I don't care about his religiosity. I don't care what people think. I am going to see Jesus. Question, who do you care about that's preventing you to see a deeper level of Jesus? Is it politics? Well, I know y'all be arguing on Facebook. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you will know my disciples because they argue with people about politics on Facebook. Doesn't it say that? Or does it say, you and all my disciples because they love one another? I'm just saying, I love the Bible. The Bible's good. We should read it more. So, she goes, I don't care about that. I am going to see Jesus. What boldness, what faith to say, I don't care about cultural customs. I don't care what people think about me. I just want Jesus. And then watch what happens. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Alabaster was a city in Egypt, and that's where the perfume was developed. She would have wore her alabaster jar of perfume around her neck, and it was her dowry from her family. This is what she was to give to her future husband. She brought it. This was her future. This was her future. This was her all in all. She brings an alabaster jar of perfume, and watch this, and stood behind him at his feet, weeping. She's weeping, she's crying, and began to wash his feet with her tears. She's washing his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair. In the first century, Second Temple Jewish context, a woman that was married and an upstanding woman that was not a prostitute would have had her hair in a bun. The fact that her hair was down maybe meant that she had a checkered past. But once again, Jesus loves people with checkered pasts. Jesus loves people who are broken, and she is weeping, and she is washing. Yeah. She is washing his feet with her hair, and then look what she does, kissing them and anointing them with perfume. If there's any teenagers in the house or young Gen Z, please understand this. In first century, the Jewish world, the streets were not made of pavement. They were dusty. And so she is weeping and crying and kissing Jesus' feet and anointing them with her perfume. She's down on her knees, and she's weeping and crying and washing his feet, and she's pouring out her future on Jesus. She's pouring out her future on Jesus. I'm gonna say it one more time. She's pouring out her future on Jesus. And you know what's so awesome is when you and I pour out our future on Jesus, our future's taken care of, and not only that, our present and our past is erased. You can trust Jesus. Okay. Let's do this. We don't have to be afraid of a global pandemic. We don't have to be afraid of political partisanship. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Christian, you don't have to be afraid. The end of the story has been told. The book has been written. There is a new heaven. There is a new earth. You can trust him with your future. Watch this, though. When the Pharisee who invited him saw this, he said to himself, notice this, y'all ready? He said to himself, he didn't say it out loud. Jesus hears us. He hears us. He said to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, the way this is written in the Greek language is like, see, I told you this guy was a lie. This man, if he was a prophet, would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner. Now let's do some history here. To be considered of advancement to become a Pharisee by the age of 12, you had to know from Genesis to Malachi, the 39 books of the Hebrew Bible, First Testament, Old Testament, whatever you want to call it, right? You had to know that in order to advance. So by age of 12, a Pharisee would have beat all of us in a game of Awanas. They knew the Bible. Isn't it sad that you can be so religious that you know the Bible that you miss God is at your table for dinner? I wonder, and hear my heart, let me pastor you today. I wonder how many of us have become so religious and judgmental that we miss Jesus. In response to his great love, she's crying and weeping. Look what Romans 5, 6 through 8 says. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at the right time and died for us sinners. That's me and you. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. Watch this. But God. On the count of three, say but with me. One, two, three. But. Whenever you see but in the Bible, something big is about to happen. God loves big buts and he cannot lie. Satan may try to deny. Seriously. I'm not talking about Sir Mix-a-Lot. I'm talking about Sir Jesus. Whenever you see but in the Bible, something big is about to happen. Look at this. But God showed what? His great love for us. By doing what? Sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In other words, God is like, listen, I know you love me, but that's not what's important. What's most important is how much I love you. And when you know how much I love you, then like a rose blossoming to the sun, your love will blossom for me. So many of us are going, God, do I love you enough? Do I love you enough? And he's going, precious child, let me overwhelm you with my love. And you won't even have to ask about, are you loving me enough? Because as we inhale, we exhale. When you inhale my love, you exhale love back unto me.
Oh, listening friend, God loves sinners like you and like me. You were hearing a message by Pastor Derwin L. Gray as we continue with our series, Shaping Your Future Self, Holy Habit, Seeing What God Sees. Pastor Gray encouraged us to cultivate the holy habit of seeing how God sees us, and this will help us to see others. We'll continue this message on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. We'll look at how God graciously forgives our sins and how God redeems us from sin so we can worship Him. If you missed a portion of today's message or want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. And you can right-click on it, paste it into an email, and send it on to a friend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.